but I, in consultation with Pete and Si and Vicky, really felt it would be great to hand over my sermon slot this morning so that I could interview Si and Vicky about some exciting things that are taking place in their lives. You'll remember, if you were here back on Vision Sunday, that we shared our vision for that we've really felt God was speaking to us at church about expansion, extension, and exponential growth. And one of our distinctives as a church and as a network is that we believe in church planting. We're not those kind of aggressive church planters that pinpoint places on a map and then find people to lead churches. We don't do it that way. We actually wait and see what God is stirring in the hearts of individuals, because we believe that actually vision comes from God directly to individuals, and we want to bless what he's doing in other people's lives. So a little while ago, Si and Vicky came to the realization with God that they felt called to plant a church, which is super exciting. And so as part of our vision as a church and a network this year, we're going to be planting them, sending them to New Zealand. And We have been in dialogue for some time, just talking about what that transition looks like. And it feels like it's really important to bring the whole of this family on the journey, because we love these guys and we actually want to see them transition well. But we also each want to be a part of sending them. It's not just about us as a leadership team sending them. It's actually about all of us being involved in that process. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the journey that they've been on. And we're also going to talk about how we, as their church family, can support them, not just on this side of the transition, but also when they get to where they're going, because they're going to continue to need our love, our prayers, our support, and our resources. So without further ado, I want to invite this incredible couple to the platform. Let's give them a big hand.
Vicky's just getting some water.
That's good. We're glad you're not running away. How are you feeling, Vicky? You've had a busy weekend with the B conference, haven't you?
Yeah, good. Okay? Yeah, tired, but no, it was a fantastic conference. So, yeah,
it was amazing.
It was brilliant. Very good.
Brilliant. So, Si and Vicky, you've been here in the UK for a long time now. How long, to be precise?
Well, I'm on my 16th year.
On my 15th.
Okay, so that is a considerable period of time. And you've been investing into the life of this church for all of that time, since you've been here. I would love you, first of all, just to tell each of us a little bit about what brought you here in the first place. And I know your stories will be different on that. And some of the highlights of the past 15/16 years.
Brilliant. Well, I'll start because I arrived first. I was here first. My parents had come up a year before from New Zealand to set up a business, and I had finished the equivalents of A-levels in my high school in New Zealand, came up to follow them for a summer holiday, and just stayed, really. My parents were connected to CGC at that time, so I got connected in. I met Emma Alloway, who was running the youth at that time, and began serving her with her in the youth and supporting her, and just, yeah, I stuck and just didn't really go back.
So my family was doing a last family trip around Europe before my sister got married, and we hadn't intended to be in the UK at all. And what happened was we were in Paris on the last day of our trip, and my mum kind of had this moment of like, well, it's such a shame to come all the way up on this trip of a lifetime to Europe and not go and visit England. So she gets out her Filofax and flicks through it and finds some people who had moved to this place called Chelmsford, which we'd never heard of before. And she phones them up and says, look, we're in the area. Do you mind if we come and stay? So we caught the next flight, and it took Rick Murrell the same amount of time to get to Gatwick as it did for us to fly across to the UK. And on that weekend, literally, this is the cool thing, that weekend, this platform was being built by Rick. And And on that weekend, they asked me, would I move over and spend a year working alongside M, doing an internship. And so I said no. And but I threw them a bone and said, look, you know what, I'll do it. I'll pray about it, kind of not really intending to. But then, yeah, I just need to feel like that vulnerable kind of sharing with you. And got back to Australia, and I was in my university common room, and a friend of mine came in, and he said, I've got a word for you. It's not a word that I'm not really somebody who gives words, but I feel this is really specific to you, Sai. He said, you promised God that you would pray about something, and God's just wondering when you're going to do it. So by the time I got home from traveling back from uni that afternoon, I told my parents I was moving to England, and a few weeks later, I had boarded a flight and left behind Australia, praying a prayer. God, let me love England more than I do this country. God, would you break my heart for this nation that I'm going to, and give me like eyes only for it. So yeah, that's how I ended up being here.
I did not know that story. That's amazing. So here's the thing. I mean, I was going to bill these guys as people who always say yes, but clearly there was at least one initial no followed by a reluctant yes, which, you know, it's heartening for all of us, isn't it? Because I'm sure we all fall into that category at times. So some of the highlights, I know it's hard probably to pick out two or three, but...
So there's quite a lot of personal highlights for me. Obviously, meeting Vicky, having our children, like the... This place has been so entwined in our story, in our journey, and in things. I feel like there was moments, like for a while I led the youth work at Faith Camp, and I'll never forget standing on stage as like 900 young people just came under the presence of God and felt like it was time that they would kneel down in prayer and worship. That was phenomenal. I looked out and I thought, God, you are doing incredible things. I just being part of significant times of worship, and the Love Chelmsford thing was a moment of real significance for me, because just as we prayed on behalf of this city and this nation, and kind of everybody working together to build something. And that's really how I feel about what God's been doing here at Skylark, and how he's weaved this story together and created a love for this place and for this city and this nation in us.
Yeah, I think for me, as I said, our life has been weaved together with CGC Chelmsford and Skylark Church. I can look in this building, and like we had our reception here. So we got married in Sydney, but because we had all of our friends here, we set up this room right here as our reception. Sai and I had our first argument in the office over there. I mean, there was the proper argument that, you know, every so often when you're dating you have. And I remember that on a Friday night after youth. Just different things like that, you know, coming and getting our two girls dedicated on the stage. And just there's so much weaved into the last 16 years. Our life has really been, so many points have been dictated by this church. Well, not dictated, but by followed with through with this church. I think the other things is the B conference that we had this weekend. I've been involved in it for a fair few years now, and actually just being transformed by it, as I was a woman that probably didn't necessarily think women conferences were cool, but allowing myself and God to reveal actually how empowering it is to come together as women and just to embrace what God's called us to do, but also then seeing the transformation that happens upon the women that go through that conference. And even recently, Little Ones, which is the toddler group here, having a crazy idea and having someone kind of say, come on, like, what do you think? Should we do this? And thinking, okay, yeah, well, you know, we'll probably get about 30, you know, 30 mums and kids, you know, see how it happens. To the fact that now every Thursday in this auditorium, we get about like 80 to 90, sometimes more. And just seeing the fact that actually our community is being impacted, and that, and with Skylark, that we don't ever say it's too small or too little. Actually, we're like, yes, let's see what happens and jump in head and do it.
Brilliant.
I've just got one more thing. One of the things that really has impacted me about one of the highlights is that I've had the benefit of serving under Rick and Bev, Paul and Liz, and now Pete and Nikki, and I've just seen how each leader has had their kind of personal response. It was really cool. The week before Rick and Bev moved to the UK, we were at their house and we were praying for them that as they left Australia, that they would have a significant impact. And I remember playing in the garden with Seth and just having a really great time, never thinking that the journey would then be picked up on the other side. And to then come onto this side and see how God had kind of begun this incredible story here. And then as the baton was handed on and people just took up that call of God, it modeled something to us in our faith journey, that when God said to do something, regardless of how big or how small or what obstacles kind of stood in our way, we had to be people who would respond with a yes. And the cool thing, the fruit of that yes, is all of us. When people make a choice to step out in faith and say, God, I'll do it, whatever the cost, then all these people, as I look at all your faces, I look and I see, well, because some people were faithful, we can all be faithful and we can then respond to that thing. And that is a massive highlight, to have worked with incredible leaders in the body of Christ and seen what God is doing out of this place.
That's awesome. So thinking about distinctives, what are some of the distinctives that you've come to love about the church and our wider network that you're going to carry with you into your new season?
Well, for me, it's having the song in every season. And actually, we've been through some mountaintops. I mean, you know, we all do. You go through the mountaintop experiences, you go through the low periods. And actually, for me personally, it's a way that God really talks to me, is he provides me a song for every season. So for all of our kids, I've had a song for each of them. And there's sometimes when the song plays, I can't sing it because it brings me back to that moment, like, you know, feeding in the middle of the night, just going, God, how am I going to get through this? To seeing them grow up. And actually, it's having those songs in every season that has enabled us to, that really impacts us, doesn't it, as the Skylark International and church kind of distinctive about it. And I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm not a singer, I'm not necessarily a musician, but actually...
She plays the piano really well, actually, I'm just saying.
But it's just having those little songs that kind of just go through each season, so then when you hit the lows and the highs, it's just God's reminding you, actually, we can do this, yeah. You can do this, you can trust in me. Yeah. So that would be mine.
That's great.
My mine would be that... Over the years, we've heard about pearls that are being developed through like irritation, and butterflies that have to break out of their chrysalis and step into that new thing. And I really feel like that what God has taught us in that is that it doesn't matter how hard that wrestle is or how much pressure you're under. In that thing, God is forming something. He's writing something in your story. He's doing something that is about to release something beautiful. And that has been something that has sustained us in moments where we feel like, oh, why is this happening? Or feeling like we're just trying to break out of this thing or this mindset or this thing that's held us really tightly. Actually, God has been developing a strength in us and a readiness to be able to go, actually, now it's time to fly. Now it's time to produce that thing that is of great value and worth. And that's been something that really has defined this season for me.
That's brilliant. And that actually leads us really well into my next question, because one of the kingdom distinctives that I see over you guys as a couple, or that we see actually, is that you're obedient to God when he says something to you. And actually, we've watched you in over the years in a number of different circumstances, in big things, in small things, where people have seen or where people haven't seen, choose to say yes to him. And we love that about you guys. You've got wholehearted faith. You're passionate. When you make a decision to say yes to God, you do that thing with excellence and you do it with your whole heart. So tell us a bit more about how you heard the call of God to plant a church in New Zealand. How did that come about?
Well, and this is a pretty cool story if I don't say so myself. When we got married and Si got offered the youth pastor role, we really toyed about the idea of heading back to Sydney. He hadn't been offered the youth pastor role at that stage, so we were planning to move back to Australia at that point. But it was more us escaping. It was more just having a backup plan because we didn't really quite know what to do. And so then when we had the meeting and got invited to take over the role from Emma, we really prayed about it and said, okay, God, this is a yes. But we felt like that when we chose to take that yes for the job and for staying here as part of the church, that it was a yes without a time frame. So we didn't say, yes, okay, and then 3 years' time we're going to head back to one of our countries. Or, yes, we are going to, you know, see how it goes. But actually it was a yes, we are in this 100%. And actually, therefore, we are not considering ourselves a Kiwi or Australian American, but actually this is our home. And so thinking about moving just actually never crossed our mind. We did have to you always have to check your heart, don't you? So there was times when we would go and visit back in New Zealand and Australia and would get on the plane and be like, actually, God, we just need to just recommit ourselves back to England. This is still our home. This is where we're meant to be called to be. And just that kind of happened for the last 12 years until on the 3rd of June 2015. Now, I wrote this down because it was slightly an insignificant moment, but still it became quite a significant moment happened. Si and I, it was a lovely summer day. We're out in our garden. The girls were playing around. And a conversation was just happening between Si and I. We were just chatting. And he just said something along the lines of, oh, well, when Aaliyah, who's our eldest at this point in time, is 8, you know, she'll be able to go to the English school. She'll be able to keep staying in primary and that'll be fine and we'll enjoy life up here when she's 8. It was along that line. So just basically saying when she turns 8, she's going to be here. And somewhere inside of me, like, and all I can describe, poor Josiah, was like this bubbling up of I'd say righteous anger. And I've never felt it before.
She was very righteously angry.
We're enjoying the his and her.
There is definitely a his and her version of this story. And I was like, no, that is not going to happen. And then I was like, well, hold on. Why is it not going to happen? Like, this is our home. And I, at that point, I was like, okay, I don't know. As us women do, sometimes we feel before we actually know what we're thinking. I'm one of those. So I was feeling something with no idea what was going on in my head. I was feeling this anger of like, no, that statement is not true, but I don't quite know why it's not true. So we kind of got a bit angry at each other for no reason whatsoever. And so I went inside and I took up the washing and I went out to the washing line and I began to pray. And I was like, I was hanging out the washing going, God, I don't know what this is, but I feel like that when Aaliyah is 8, we are not going to be in this country. And I've never felt this before. So I was praying, going, okay, God, I don't quite know what to do this as I was putting up the washing. Like, I don't want to be angry at my husband because he's not really done anything wrong. But I just need to sort this out in my head. So I just was like, actually, if this is a revelation of you, then I need Josiah to get his own revelation. I can't, if we're going to do this journey that I feel like you've just suddenly put into me, I can't do this by myself. I can't be the one, I'm not the head of the household, but I'm also not we're in this as a partnership. So I can't do this by myself. I need us to both have the revelation. So I was like, God, actually, and at that point I said, I give it completely to you. If this is you, then you need to reveal this to Josiah because I am not going to say anything. I am not going to mention a word to him. I'm not going to even interfere, which yes, is hard for me to have said. Like, I'm not even going to drop hints. I was actually like, no, I need this to be 100% his revelation and my revelation. So I feel like I came back into the house relatively happy, but yeah, we'll see.
So let's hear the other side of the story.
So we had the visionary leadership team meeting that night. And Vicky wasn't on the team at that stage. And all I recall was this moment where Vicky went from being happy to having a face like thunder that I had said something and I wasn't quite sure what I had said or what I had done. That happens in marriage. So it didn't feel like particularly spiritual or like a moment or like a thunderbolt from heaven. It just was this moment of like, what is going on? And I ended up having to come back out and be like, hey, I'm going now. I've got to go to VLT. Thanks for being so cranky at me. Because I unlock things by humor. It doesn't always go down well because, you know, she was still cranky, I feel. So I went out to the car and went to the meeting. And it was a particularly significant meeting for us as a team. We had been praying through Rock, and we had really been spearheading that as a VLT and pushing forward to see that building released and to see that we would have a place in the center of Chelmsford as our own. And Nikki brought a word about personal breakthrough that would release corporate breakthrough and really kind of unlock some of that idea. And she turned to me and said, okay, Sai, what are you waiting for personally that will release something corporately? And I'm not one who finds myself without words very often. But I was like, why did you choose me? No, this is not the thing. So
generally always a really good person to choose first.
I kind of know what I'm thinking. Yeah. And anyway, I was like, look, you're going to have to go around the circle the other way and come back to me because I don't have anything. And I remember sitting there in my mind, kind of maybe even tuning out what everybody else was saying for fear that I had nothing to say. And it came back to me inordinately quick. Like, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm sure everyone else on this team has some big things that they need personal breakthrough for. But it came back to me, and I sat forward in my chair and did what I can only now describe as prophesy. And I began to say, the trip that we've just taken to New Zealand and that we've just come back from, it wasn't just a holiday for us. I believe that God had been showing us the land and saying, this is the land which I'm now showing you as a place that you're going to tread on and you're going to take. This is the place. I said, we have a church in us, and it's waiting to be birthed, and we feel like it's really significant that God is showing us this place. And I said, we've not looked to the left or to the right. We've not been seeking this out, but this is what God is releasing in us. And then I stopped, and internally I was freaking out. I had this moment of like, I've not spoken to Vicky. Pete and Nikki had just planted an out hub, and as a team we had talked about consolidation, and I was like, this doesn't work with that idea. We're supposed to consolidate. We're not supposed to be telling people that we're about to plant churches. This is a time where we need to kind of stick together and build the thing which God is calling us to do. This isn't your, like, I can't see, God, how you're doing this. So I waited till everybody else had gone, and I sat with Pete and Nikki and I said, oh my goodness, I can't believe I just said that. And they said, no, we can. Their response was like the most kind of calm, peaceful response. They prayed over me. They prophesied. And I still had that kind of like thumping heartbeat that was like, oh my goodness, I've got to now go home and tell Vicky what I've just told the VLT, we're moving countries and we're planting a church. This is kind of significant. I went home and Vicky had already gone to sleep and I assumed that she was still cranky. So I went in and I woke her up and I was like, okay, babe, just let me talk. Just listen. And I explained to her what had happened. And she laughed. She just burst into this fit of laughter. And she explained to me what she had prayed to God. That she's like, God, if it's you, then would you move Sai's heart? Would I give up my right to this? I give up my ability to shift this thing because it's yours. And it's yours alone, God. So you do it. She just said, I didn't expect it would be that quick.
Can I just say this? Sai's response, once I explained what happened at the washing line, was response, why did you not tell me this? Like, I was completely, like, floored by God. You know, why did you not clue me into this? And I'm like, well, it couldn't be God, could it? Like, it had to be done separately for us to be able to do it jointly. Isn't that cool? Yes. Such a cool story. Such a cool story. We are super excited, delighted, joyful to be sending these guys to plant a church in New Zealand. And yes, the truth is there's always a big cost attached to that, and it's called loving relationships.
Yeah.
And so we can't deny that there's going to be pain for all of us in the sending, because these guys are dear to us, not for what they do, and they do an awful lot and have done an awful lot in the life of the church, but for who they are. For the things that they've spoken into us, for the ways in which they have supported us, there will be countless numbers of us sitting here today and watching online when this video goes up, who will say, I remember a time where Vicky, or I remember a time where Sai, and because of that, I am changed. And so, of course, we can't deny that there's a cost attached to planting a church. There always is. However it looks, sending people is costly. But it's so exciting, because that is how the kingdom grows. That is what exponential growth looks like in kingdom terms.
Yeah.
And so we are going to rejoice in this sending. But we do want to ask a super important question now for the people sitting in this room, for those who aren't here today who are going to want to know the answer to these questions. How can we, as a church, get behind you? Practically, in prayer, on both sides of your journey. So in the run-up to July, when we're sending you, and once you finally arrive in New Zealand in October, they're going to do a bit of travelling in between, quite right, too. What needs to fall into place? What are you standing for in faith? What kingdom connections do you need to see happen?
Yeah.
All of those things, because as a church, I know that people are going to want to sign up to hear your updates, to faithfully pray for you, but some people actually will want to do more than that. So could you just tell us, what are your needs, and how can we as your family send you well?
Yeah. So I feel like it's important for you to kind of know what it looks like when we get there. We're moving to Auckland. We're going to be living with Vicky's parents in the east of Auckland. But God never said to us, go to Auckland, and that's your finishing point. He said, move to New Zealand. This is the land which I'm showing you. And I feel like it's really important, because we don't just feel that we are called to just make a little mark or do a little thing called church that impacts the ones or the twos. We feel like God is giving us that nation.
We agree with that.
And that in all of our language, we've described it as being New Zealand. And so we've got the real practical thing of where we'll be. We feel like the church kind of stems from that thing. It will initially look like being gathered around a table and then gathered around mission. So we have 1 week where we'll... will have a massive table in our house, in our back garden, and we will feed people, and we will use that space.
That is my kind of church.
We'll use that space to worship, use that place to kind of encourage one another and really bring the essence of the kingdom out in that space. With a view then that in the fortnight's time, then we will meet together and go on mission together. So what does that look like? Going into primary schools and doing renovations and going into different places and making the kingdom advance in ways that where you can see it. Like, I want to see the kingdom and I want it to really impact people at the core of who they are. And so so a lot of what looks like us building church initially just looks like us getting a home. And finding a place where we've got a big enough expanse for people to just fit into spaces and to really, we know we're called to start small, but that's not our ending point either. We really feel like that actually an expression like this is part of who we are. And so we really feel like that it's going to grow and proliferate and be impactful to the city and to the nation, and so we're kind of starting small but believing for big. Yes. And so how can you kind of practically get involved? Basically, we need prayer on this side of things. Before we go, we've got some crazy things that we need to do. In just under a month, Vicky's having a baby. And surprise. and so that's huge. We've had this cool, God's been doing this amazing thing with the sale of our house. Before it went on the market, we had somebody knock on our door and say, look, we want to offer you the number that we actually had in faith for our house. So before it went even to market, it was sold. And so God, we were like, yes, God, come on. Last Saturday, we got a text message through saying, look, basically, we need to reduce our offer. And it's kind of left us a bit hanging in the wind, just kind of not really sure of how that miracle is going to continue on. But we've seen God move mountains, and we believe that he'll do it again. So we're standing in faith that our house will sell. And it's been like that kind of moment of like when we talk to solicitors or real estate agents or whatever, they look at our story and what we've got to do. Oh, so you're going to have a baby and you're going to sell your house and you've got to move by July. And, are you serious? Kind of like, we don't know that that's possible. But we know with God, all things are possible.
Yeah.
And so we're standing in faith for that. So we'd love for you to just be praying for us that the sale of our house and the practical things of packing up and transitioning with job roles and things on this side. Because we don't want to just drop the ball here and just go, we're only focused on the things that are to come. We love this place and we're being sent by this place. And so we want to make sure that everything on this side of things is really covered and secure in that thing. So we'd love for you to pray for us in that. We're going to have a sign-up sheet for you to join us in prayer on this side. Join us in prayer on the other side. We're going to be producing some video blogs because we can. The thing that I would really ask you to do is to not feel the jealousy that might come with us standing on really beautiful beaches. Or
we can't promise that. We're only human, you know.
Yeah. On our trip on the way to New Zealand, we're going to New York and North Carolina, South Carolina, Washington State, Oregon, California, Sydney, and Brisbane before we get to New Zealand.
Wow.
So you'll get a flavor of what God is doing. I just pray that it would be something that we really felt like God wanted to unravel some of the season that we've been in. We never expected to be here this long. 1 year turned into 15 for me, and a trip to see Vicky's parents turned into 16 years. And so it's an exciting thing, but it's an unraveling in the process that we need God to do in preparation for the thing that's going to happen. So there'll be an availability for you to get video blogs from us to get updates and things. So it's prayer and it's support in that way. And I think just the fact that we count you guys as family. You have been our family to us. When nobody else was there in moments where we were in pain or going through mountaintops or valleys, you have been our family. You've held us up. And so we are now going to a place where we're close to natural family, but without any of our spiritual family. Kind of, we're going to a place where we're feeling like, oh my goodness, this is really vulnerable, and this is really hard. We're stepping out. We had to change our language because at first we said we were going back to New Zealand. I have never lived in New Zealand. Vicky hasn't lived there since she was 17, so it has massively changed. We are going to a nation that God is calling us to, and it looks different, it feels different, it's like the mentalities are all different, but we are called to be a change in that nation, to release something of heaven over that place. So that's how we kind of need that support.
That's really helpful, thank you. I just want to say there's a few things I think we can really do to help these guys. The first is we're all excited about where they're going and what they're going to be doing. But please don't ask them for like minutiae of detail, because they don't have that. This is a faith journey. And actually, when you receive a word from God and you're being obedient to that, sometimes when people fire specific questions and ask you for all of the fine detail before you have it, it can really unnerve you. So it's really important that what we do as a church family is fan into flame that seed that God has given them, and not try and pin everything down and ask them those things. And I know that we often do that out of love, but it's just really important that we nurture that faith seed. And actually what we do is we just throw water on it and nourishment on it and encouragement on it. So whenever you see them, encourage them in that thing and say, you can do this, you've got this, even though God hasn't shown you the full blueprint yet, it's coming. So that's the first thing. The second thing is obviously praying, and we're going to pray for them in a minute. But it may actually be that God calls you to sow in resources into where they're going. They are going to need a place to live, and they might be sorted for that initial time frame when they first get there, but actually they're going with intent to scout out the land and find where God would call them to start church. So if you felt able to sow into that and to make an investment, that would be a wonderful thing to do. Or perhaps you think, well, I don't have a large sum that I could invest, but I could maybe think about, for the first year or so, just supporting them on a monthly basis so that they know that they've got, you know, a degree of income coming in. I'm sure that, you know, they've got all sorts of entrepreneurial ideas about how they're going to support themselves, but actually they're going to need time and space to hear from God as they plant church and as they look and see what he's calling them to do. And so we don't want for them to be running ragged all over the place trying to make ends meet. What we actually want them to be able to do is to hear from God and to step into to all that he's calling them to. And I can say this where they can't say this, so I am saying it. Let's ask God how he wants us to support them. Some of you may be sitting here and think, do you know what? I think God might be calling me to go.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Nikki, I think for us, we were talking about this last night, is that initially we struggled with the fact that we would be going to the other side of the world. How does that work with Skylark? How does that work with Skylark International? And we kind of, you know the journey. You know that we've kind of sometimes been really clear and sometimes been a bit like seeing through the glass dimly. I think the reality is that God, over the last few weeks, has increased our view of him. We've had to choose to see him as greater. And there's no distance that is too great for our God. The earth is his footstool. That's what the Bible says. And so I think that maybe some of you have heard what our mission is, the thing that we're being called to. And maybe you've discounted it in your head, saying, that's not for me. It's too far. I'm going to have to leave family. I'm going to have to leave jobs. I'm going to have to do something crazy. Well, maybe you need to do something crazy. Maybe your first response is no when it needs to be yes. Maybe that thing, like, but don't wait for the clouds to open and for somebody to come into your university common room to shake you and to tell you what you already know to be true. God is speaking, and I feel like he's touching people in a place that goes there. So there are people who will pray, there are other people who will sow, and there are other people who will go.
Great, I agree. So please do ask God what he's saying to you about how you can support these guys, and we will be doing the same. But what we'd love to do now is pray for them. I want to say, this isn't their farewell yet. That is to come. So we're not going to do that today. I can't do the tears today. Emotionally, two pregnant ladies on the stage, that is not going to go well. So we're not doing that this morning. This is the rejoicing part. This is the faith-building part. Yeah. And we have the farewells and the sending part to come, okay? But we would like to pray over them at this point. And I'm going to keep you seated for logistical reasons. Could you stretch out your hands, please? And just join with me as we pray. God, we want to thank you this morning for this incredible couple. We thank you for Sai, and we thank you for Vicky. And we thank you for Aaliyah and Zion and the baby that's on the way. Lord, we bless them today as you have deposited this seed of faith in their hearts that has just grown and grown and grown and will continue to grow as their church family and as the wider network of Skylark International. We say yes and amen to everything that you're calling them to. We stand shoulder to shoulder with them in faith, believing, God, that you are going to give them territory. And as they have believed in their hearts that, yes, it may start in one particular area, but God, that you're giving them a nation, Lord, that actually you're calling them to have influence and impact in an entire nation and possibly a continent. Lord, that it's bigger than even they can comprehend. And so, Father, we want to pray that you continue to enlarge their vision. Lord, that when problems hit or obstacles hit or questions hit, Lord, that they wouldn't doubt and shrink their vision back down again. But Lord, that actually they would just cause it to expand even further. Lord, that they would stand firm on the words that you spoke to them independently, which is such a great thing. We're grateful to you, God, that you spoke to them in the way that you did, because they can be sure that you have spoken. And so, Lord, may they stand on the rock of that revelation that you've given them, Lord, as they step into their future. We just pray that absolutely everything on this side of that transition that needs to fall into place would fall into place, that they would get their faith figure for the house. Lord, that it would sell quickly and smoothly and seamlessly. Lord, that all the other logistics that need to happen as they pack up their life, as they tie up loose ends, as they hand over ministry areas that they have loved and cherished and nurtured for many years, Lord, that you would just bring alongside them everything and everyone that they need to make that possible. We thank you that you're going to be raising up the right people, Lord, to step into those areas in church life and in ministry life. But Lord, we also just pray for all the things that they need as a family, for every resource, for every connection, for every prophetic word that still is needed to be imparted. God, that they would have everything that they need. And we cheer them on into this new season. Lord, you know we love these guys dearly. And we are excited to see them step into a new faith adventure and into the thing that you have ordained since the beginning of time for this incredible family. And we pray for the right people to gather alongside them on the other side. And Lord, we just thank you that as they have been faithful over many, many years, Lord, that you will show yourself faithful to them, that you are a faithful God, that you will not fail them, that you will not leave them or forsake them, but God, that you will do exactly what you have said you will do. Father, we pray that you would anoint them for this new season. And as their church family, all God's people said, Amen.